Philip Engel Show. I'm Austin Cabot, and tonight we are recording a special fireside chat here at the Grand Prix Campground at Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca. It's almost 11 p.m. at night, but I am joined by HFF Challenge drivers Jared Reyes and Jared Walker. What's going on, guys?
Not much. Just trying to stay warm.
Yeah.
It's freezing
out
here.
Yeah, it's a little chilly. Fog rolled in. Did you guys camp last night at all?
We did.
You did?
And it was
not
this bad.
Yeah. No, not at all. Thursday night was horrible. But fog like rolls in like all the time. And it's really nice until the sun starts going down and then the fog magically appears.
I think it's like a 7 p.m. thing. It just cruises in.
Yeah, it's really, really weird.
I brought a three-year-old to the track to camp with me at Laguna Seca.
Oh, yeah?
So that was a little bit more difficult than just being here by myself. Like, the cold was cool, but then when the kids and the wife start getting cold, then that wasn't fun.
I see you brought your own toilet over there.
I did bring a kitty toilet. Oh, yeah, we're in potty training right now.
Nice.
Which is crazy because we brought it to the track and he hasn't used the potty here once. So next week's going to be a battle of going back and forth with the potty training.
So how'd today go for you guys? We're obviously at a Speed Ventures event. Man, it is late, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm all over the place.
Yeah. The beer is flowing.
It is. So, so you guys run in the HFF Challenge.
Yeah.
Jared, you're one of the organizers of HFF Challenge.
Yeah.
How long have you been involved with with the challenge?
Since the beginning, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you start it?
I'm one of the original.
Awesome. Where'd the idea come from?
It really kind of spawned from Speed Ventures itself.
Okay.
At the time, they had a Miata challenge and an S2000 challenge. And then it was just right timing. We used to have good groups of guys. We typically would average like 10 to 15 people.
Wow.
And then it just kind of like, hey, there's enough people. Let's turn this into something.
Okay.
So it just kind of started that way.
And this was back like 08, 09 or so? Or?
This was 2010.
Okay.
We did some test events, wrote the rules, and went live in February of 2011, I think it was.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, you guys run a fairly decent amount of events. Throughout the year, how many you guys have lined up this year? Do you know?
Nine events.
Okay.
Nine nice. Events this year.
Nice.
Used to be ten.
Okay.
We've had to fluctuate a little bit.
Okay.
Because people are really picky about the tracks they go to out here.
you added a date, right? There's a back to back, so that counts as 10, right? Or well, it's a day, so.
But
it's going to count the points that the way it's set up in points, it's going to count for 10 events, right?
Because we decided to turn this weekend into a best of the weekend. So any driver Friday through Sunday, we will count those times. And then we also did Spring Mountain earlier this year, but the event sold out like crazy early.
Yeah, really quick.
And so a lot of people didn't have a chance to actually get into the event. So I think September Button Willow, I think we're going to do a back-to-back day there.
Oh, nice.
And that way it'll kind of give everybody an extra day.
Okay.
It'll be easier to get into.
Awesome. Now, for the listeners that aren't familiar with what HFF Challenge is, what exactly is it?
It is front-wheel drive Honda exclusive time trial event.
Okay.
So it's basically any front-wheel drive Honda with any engine configuration. We've done our best to write the rules the best we can.
Please everybody, man.
No, you
can't.
No matter what we do, someone will always bring up a new topic. They're like, "Well, I don't like this." So
that's just the way it goes, man.
Yeah, that's a thing. You look front wheel drive Honda cars that people are fixing up now date back to the early '80s, and then you now have like
brand new
turbocharged 1.5.
Yeah, you can
liter,
bring like a new Civic Type R.
Yeah,
could potentially
that's
be
next
entered.
Year's battle for sure. Like, you know, so to write one rule book that is like, oh, I have this chassis with this motor and this suspension and these tires, like, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So
do you guys have a committee, I guess, that kind of works on point structure and stuff like that?
Yeah, we do. So there's myself, there's Will, who's here at the table tonight, doesn't have a microphone in hand.
Yeah, I only brought three, man. Traveling light this week.
We have Nick, and we have Catman. Everyone knows from FF Squad.
Okay.
Early 2000s. So between the four of us, we pretty much have a major group text that just goes on and on and on about everything. So, there's four of us total that actually put in for it.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, like 2 weeks from now, I'll be going to West Michigan Honda Meet. So I'm, you know, that's kind of where my track family started. Okay. Was at that event. I went to that like 2 weeks after I moved to Chicago. I didn't know anybody. Showed up at that event with my S2000 and just met tons and tons of great people, including my co-host for the show, Adam Jabe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just a phenomenal. The Honda community, track community specifically, is a phenomenal community. It really is.
I've got friends that I consider people friends that I've literally never met in person.
Yeah.
Like East Coast guys that are all like Honda guys, and we will buy and sell parts and we'll talk, or like, hey, what are you guys doing for this? Or like, the community is really good in that sense, that it's a lot smaller than people think it is.
And after talking to somebody online for a while, now this sounds like a Match.com ad now, but after talking to somebody online for an hour, like, you feel like you know them. So the first time you meet them in person, like, it doesn't even register that, like, hey, I've never actually, like, met this guy in person.
Yeah. Today is a good example. There's a Sergio guy who also helped work on my car today, who I've been, like, Facebook friends and Instagram friends with for years. Never met him until today.
Yeah.
And he's like holding, like, he's like, I left to go get parts for the car and I came back and he was working on my car. He's like, hey, what's up? We finally get to meet. I'm like, thank you. You're working on my car for me, stranger.
Awesome,
like, you're like, this is a little awkward, but I really appreciate your help.
Yeah. So now, Jaron, you're new to HFF Challenge this year and new to the track. I remember back in February at Buttonwillow, you know, when I first met you, you had just done your first track day.
Yeah.
You and the Speed Ventures Blue Group that day. And here you are coming to all of the events, man.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how it all worked out. Like, I was a drag racer. Like, if you don't know who I am, like, previously I worked for D-Sport Magazine for 14 years.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was there for 14 years. And then I recently moved over to IBOC.
Okay.
About a year ago. And then all the guys at IBOC are track guys.
Right.
And it only fit. Like, I was a car guy, but I was a drag racer. And then these guys were road racing, and I've been to their track. I've done so much stuff on road race cars, like working with them, but I didn't actually, you know, like, ever drive one. And then I sold my drag car. Like, I literally started working for IBOC, sold my drag car, and then bought an Integra in hopes to start road racing it. And then I just dove in head first. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to every track event. I'm trying to win the 2017 Street Challenge Championship. I know it's a participation award, but I don't care.
Show up to all the events, get a trophy.
Like, literally, I had a drag car for, you know, like 10 years, and then I switched to road racing, and I get more seat time. It's the most fun I've ever had in a car, and I've done the last four HFF events. So, total, like, five events with Speed Ventures, and those are, like, that was, like, from my first track day till now, and then four events in the HFF Challenge.
Okay. So you worked at D-Sport for like 14 years and had never done a track day at all. It was all drag racing.
I actually went to Streets of Willow and like they had lunch break.
Okay.
And during lunch break, I went on track with like a automatic Evo, like a, what is that, the...
Oh, the SST?
Yeah, the SST.
Or whatever transmission it is.
And I went like
Evo
five,
10.
Five turns and the guy that was in the car with me was like an instructor and he was like 18 years old and he kept reaching over and grabbing the wheel. And I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. You don't
was
know
his name Jesus?
No, it wasn't.
Jesus take the wheel?
Yeah, probably, right? But it was cool, though. You know, like, now that I'm in it, it's like, it's an experience. Like, you learn so much about car control, your car, the things you're doing in your car. Like, and it's just fun.
Yeah. Now, what's the most surprising thing for you? Because, I mean, you've probably done, what, six or seven events now?
Yeah, I would say... The surprising thing is, like, what you can do with a car that has little horsepower, as long as it's set up right or you're confident with your driving skills, what you can do with a car with so little power compared to cars like factory, like a dude that goes and buys, like a Porsche or, like, a V8, like, Camaro, like, in an Integra, like a LS Integra that I have with no power, I'm still able to, like, go head-to-head
with
these guys.
Yeah.
And so that's the most surprising thing about road racing for me is, like, in my little car, people don't think I can do it, but I do it.
Right.
And so I feel good about that.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure you've felt yourself progress just, like, every single event.
Yeah. Man, from my third event where I went to Buttonwillow and spun out, like, I went four off three times in the first session, which I know that's, like, a no-no. And, like,
from
that...
No-no.
to like,
yeah,
it's a big no-no.
Yeah, like now I've calmed down though.
And they let you back out?
Yeah.
Man, I gotta talk to those corner workers, man.
Nah, but it was like, I told them, like, I'm just driving over my head. Like, that was what I was doing. I was overdriving my car. I was going too crazy, and I just needed to calm down.
You can just say I'm a drag racer, man, and they'd be like, oh, okay, we get it now.
They understood. So don't go far off, you know?
Yeah.
If you plan on coming out.
Yeah, it's usually not a good idea. But, hey, you made it through.
I did.
Dude, I remember the end of that day. I think you did, like, a 219 or something.
And it was faster than that. Come
was
on.
It? Was it? It was like a 214.
I run 211s at Buttonwillow. Yeah. Right?
What was it? No, but that first event.
The first day. Oh, man. I can't even.
I think it was 219.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I remember
right.
You came out after getting your time. You're like, 219s, baby.
Yeah. I did. Like, I was celebrating.
Dude, you were pumped. Yeah. It was awesome.
Like 8 seconds in session.
Yeah, that when I first started, it was...
Or like 3 minutes?
No, you were breaking them down. Like, it was easy to go fast when I first started, but now it's like I'm finding hidden speed. Like, once I slow down and like think about each turn or each corner that I'm going to go into, like, instead of just like trying to go out there and set a fast lap.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the good things that's helping you too is, you know, going around to all the tracks that HFF Challenge goes to, you're getting to drive on a lot of different tracks. One of the big mistakes that I see beginners make is go to the same track all the time. And that's the only place they go for like the first year.
Yeah.
And it's actually really detrimental to their, you know, their skill set, building their skill set as a driver.
And that was something I didn't want to do, like, I track with Jared and, like, Tony and Mark, those guys from Eibach, and they were like, you know, we got to go to all these different tracks and, like, be diverse. And then with that, they were helping me, like, I think it was, like, a lot of input from those guys, like, putting their, like, telling me what to do or, like, how to approach it, like, helped me out a lot, too. But you're right. Like, if you go to one track, I feel like there's a lot of people that just go to Buttonwillow, and they're like, oh, I'm fast here, and that's the only place they're fast.
Yeah.
And then you go somewhere else, and they don't, like, you know, they're not as fast as they are at Buttonwillow, you know, as they would be at another track.
Right.
Because that's their home track, and that's all
going to all the tracks, like, have you started noticing that certain corners at certain tracks are just like, you know, other corners at other tracks? You started noticing that yet?
I was just
going to
bring
that up. You will
that
eventually.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, I think because I'm so new, I haven't noticed that, but I still take like the technique or the approach,
right?
Like from both of those tracks, and I'm like, okay, this turn is kind of like this one,
right?
But it's kind of like, dude, I'm still like not understand how any of this works. I just know that if I turn here and I get my RPM to drop and come out of this corner at this speed, I'm able to go faster in the long run.
Yeah,
you know, so it's still kind of like a learning curve for me because I don't really know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But
I think all of us here that are experienced, like, it's you're going to be constantly learning. We still learn all the time.
I think that's one of the cooler things about being a newer driver is you can take chunks of your time out.
Yeah.
Like, you go...
Like, 4 seconds faster from one session to the next.
Yeah, and you just find it. Like, and you find that groove. Yeah. And then once you get to a certain point, you're stretching for,
seconds. Like 4/10 of a second instead of 4 seconds. And you're like, hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
I just knocked 4/10 of a second off.
Yeah.
But that bums me out, too, because at the same time, like, even though, like, I'm knocking off more time, I know it's only because I'm a newbie and I'm, like, not getting it.
Yeah.
But then when I start to understand each track, because you get, like, is it 4 20-minute sessions a day?
Yeah, 4:20 to 4:25 usually, yeah.
So when you're out there, it's like you need to start picking up these changes rather quickly to go faster in that session, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard because if you make one mistake, then everything changes.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
It's hard. It's I think it was Andy Hope that said it once in one of his articles in Haunted Tuning that was like, there's no such thing as a perfect lap. It's just trying to minimize how many errors you make.
Yeah.
And it's so true because you can like, it's like we were joking about turn 3 here at Laguna today and it's awful.
Yeah.
I have no interest in that corner whatsoever.
It's one of those corners that, like, you never, ever feel like you really get it just right.
Yeah. I went through it once today, and I was like, that's it. I got my line. I hit the apex. And it was probably, like, a cool-down lap or something when I was at, like, 50%. Yeah. But even then, I didn't get it once right, a single hot lap today. And I was like, not that I had a lot of hot laps today, but, you know. The point is it's just constantly changing.
Yeah.
Like you think you get it, but then the car's not there or the tires aren't there or whatever it is. So,
and you'll start noticing, Jaren, that like at a lot of tracks, it's pretty easy to go fast once you have the skill set, but it starts getting really hard to go really fast at those tracks. You'll get to a certain point where to pick up just that extra second or two that you need, sometimes you struggle. And you might struggle for, you know, multiple trips to that track. You know, trying to just drop just that little bit more time.
Yeah. And then one day it clicks.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
And then you're just that much better.
Yeah.
Every time out.
It's, you know, driving on track to me, it doesn't really feel like there's a learning curve. It feels like there's like learning steps. You know, you'll go up and then all of a sudden you'll just kind of like plateau a little bit. And then all of a sudden you'll go up again and then plateau a little bit and the same thing. And it's just constant.
That's what scares me. Like, being a drag racer makes me want to just throw more power. Like,
yeah.
Oh, we just need more power. It will fix this problem.
This dude talks about turbo in his car all the time at work. And I'm like, don't do it.
That's like two loves, though, because I love turbochargers and I love the B-Series engine. And like, people don't think that the two worlds can combine, and they can. And then like, they're like, oh, I won't last for a road race. But if you build the right setup, like, B-Series turbo is no joke.
Yeah.
Like, not to be messed
with. I mean, you can make anything work well if you have enough money to throw
out, man. No, I'm not trying to convince anyone. Like, I know I have plans. So you'll see me in a couple years B-Series turbo.
Yeah.
Just to see what it does. Like, even to me, if it doesn't work, it's like the journey. Like, what did I do?
And
like,
yeah.
Just to like mess with my car and like make some changes and be like, hey, I did this.
There's a guy out of Atlanta named Bryson Richards that he had the like the Marlboro painted EG.
I remember seeing.
Yeah,
that car.
now it's Golf livery.
Yeah,
but it was more orange than blue though.
Wait, it was on S3 magazine.
Yeah, it was on the cover of S3.
It was on the cover.
Yeah, my buddy Kevin Spanier shot it actually for it.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, he has a Turbo B series in there, and he seems to make it work fairly well. So, but he spent a couple years actually out of spending a lot of time at the track, just building his business. So we'll see. I think he just got the car out for the first time this past weekend.
He did,
just
last
weekend.
Atlanta
with NASA.
Yeah.
So,
from what I understood, it ran well.
Yeah.
I don't know what that entails.
Oh
but
man, so
yeah,
I'm friends with him on Facebook, and I like. He said the car ran well, but he was just super rusty and like super frustrated and actually wanted to like throw in the towel at a certain point.
But
one of his buddies, Matt Isbell, like convinced him like, no, man, like you still got it. Like
peer pressure is a real thing at the racetrack.
Yeah,
like
it
doesn't
is.
Matter. Like
so are egos.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. I had to throw that in.
So you're like, today my car broke. I'm like, dude, I'm done. Like, I don't even want to deal with this. And they're like, I just called Napa. They got what you need. Here's the address. We're going to start pulling your car. And I'm like, oh, like, you guys forced me.
Yeah,
I went and spent money.
Yeah.
And then I come back. Like, it's such a real thing here, whether it's like fixing a car or trying to go faster. But yeah, that's
What's great about like the HFF community, though, too, is like, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, you'd be doing the same thing to like Jaren. If like Jaren's car broke, you'd be
I don't know if he'd be that excited.
No, you don't think so?
Dude, no, like we got to give a shout out to Dickie's Garage. Like those guys, Dickie and those guys over there, they're from San Diego. They started working on Jared's car.
Oh, those were the guys with down at the end of the paddock that had like the Specky 46 and stuff.
Nah, they had like the
different
DC
one?
And
no,
Tango.
They're all
Honda
guys.
Never mind. Okay, okay.
But they like literally like he stopped working. He stopped. He was like in between sessions. And then he's like, hey, I'm going to hop on Jared's car. Like, and then, like, literally in, like, an hour, he had the trans out.
45
it was,
minutes.
Yeah. You guys timed him, right?
Minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, they timed him. They got him. They got the trans out in 45 minutes. Jared drove to Napa to pick up a clutch and then came back and put it all back together and got the car. Like, before we even got out of the pits tonight at, like, 7:30, it was back together.
Yeah. Still doesn't work, but
hey,
that's tomorrow's
point,
problem.
Man. But the effort was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I feel even worse because I did all this work on my car and it still doesn't work. So.
that's always the worst.
That's the name of the game, though.
Yeah.
Just keep it the way it is.
Yeah.
Turbo and a little bit of E85 and, you know.
Nah, what you need is, like, a little bit more suspension and some aero.
There you go.
Just stock, you know, just leave the power the way it is.
Man. You guys are fighting an uphill battle. I've had this conversation with him quite a few times.
Yeah?
It goes back to B-Series. He's sold on it already.
Has anyone here had a B-Series turbo car?
No.
All right.
For good reason.
smarter than that.
They don't know. It's all right. It's okay, though. I forgive them.
So, Jared, you've been to Laguna Seca before, right?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. And, Jaren, you haven't. I'd like to see, like, what your guys' views are on the track compared to some of the other, like, SoCal tracks that we're used to running.
There's walls?
Well, yeah. So, if you want to just point out differences, Laguna Seca doesn't really have run out.
Yeah. Well, it's a pro course. You know, a lot of the pro courses, they're that way for a reason because they try and bring the spectators as close to the action as they can.
Yeah.
But that also means a big wall.
Yeah.
a real big wall.
Yeah. A lot of concrete barriers and tires.
Yeah.
a big difference that's discouraging, super discouraging, if you go all four off, is that Laguna uses sand traps.
Yeah.
No other track around here uses sand like that. So, like Willow Springs, Butt Willow, any of these places, you go four off, you can drive right out. They have to, like, literally dig your car out and hook it up, and it's like a 15-minute
yeah.
ordeal.
I went out with Jeff Ringer a couple times today towing cars. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's no joke.
It's an ordeal.
I'm only laughing because I spun out three times today. once I went in the sand and was able to man it through the
it
sand.
It wasn't.
Jaron did something that probably none of us have done today. He went down the corkscrew backwards.
Backwards. I think very few people have claimed yeah. that they have done that.
I'm like a drifter, reverse entry.
I think you need like a Boy Scouts patch to put on the back. Yeah, dude. reverse entry corkscrew.
Yeah, I don't know.
It'd be great.
I spun out in the corkscrew twice today.
Twice?
Yeah, it wasn't cool, but I mean, I feel like it's part of it. Like it's, if you're not, I feel like if you, not if you don't spin out, that you're not pushing yourself, but like I was pushing myself where I felt comfortable.
Right.
And I was like, hey, if I try it this way, and I didn't think that there was anywhere I could get hurt in there, and there, I'm probably wrong, but I said, if I try it this way, I'm going to make it.
Little do you know.
Yeah. No one's safe.
Yeah.
But going back to that, aside from sand traps and no runoff, the track itself, the elevation changes, the corners,
great.
The grip, the yeah. track has a crazy amount of grip. There's nothing in Southern California that compares to it.
No, not at all.
I mean, it's Laguna Seca. It's yeah. a world-class facility for the most part. I mean,
yeah.
it's every, like, I mean, IMSA think, and Pirelli World Challenge, and everything runs through here for a reason.
Yeah, you think, I mean, you think, like, pro tracks in the U.S., and aside from COTA, you know, it's like, it's Laguna Seca, it's Road Atlanta, it's Mid Ohio, it's Road America, and maybe you can throw Watkins Glen in there. You know, yeah. as far as like yeah. when like the general public,
right.
when you say racetrack, that's what pops into their head is, yeah. is most likely one of those.
Yeah. One of the things too is Laguna Seca, like 10 years ago, roughly they started really focusing on bikes.
Yeah.
So unlike anything in Southern California, there's big red apex markers that have basically big red cinder blocks on top of them to prevent you from cutting corners.
Right.
And they will destroy your wheels and tires in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I actually saw it happen a couple times already.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those things that, unfortunately, that's the way the facility is.
Yeah.
It's cool, though, because I use them as markers today.
Yeah.
Like, I literally was like, don't hit the, like, Aaron in the meeting, he was like, don't hit these things. And I avoided them, like, it, like by any means necessary.
But you can use them.
Yeah, and they were usable, you know?
Yeah, because they're your apex markers. So you've got a target to aim for and to look at, but you don't dare cut in
yeah.
any more than you absolutely have to.
Yeah. Because
it'll wreck some stuff.
Yeah. Now, Jaron, like, what did you do to prepare for coming to Laguna Seca? You know, did you watch video? Did you play it on Forza like everybody else has? Like, what'd you do?
It's funny you asked me about videos because these are two things I want to touch on. You asked me about videos, and all week long, Jared was like, did you watch any in-car? Did you watch any in-car? Did you watch some in-car? And I'm like, yeah, I'll watch this tonight. And I never got to it, so yeah. No, I didn't watch any video.
Okay.
And then I did an Instagram Live today from the pre-grid, like while I was in my car, and then someone commented on there, oh, I've been on the corkscrew so many times in Gran Turismo. I know it like the back of my hand. Yeah, it's not like Gran Turismo, yeah. okay? So anyone out there, you're yeah. wrong. Like, you don't, unless you've yeah. driven on it, you don't know.
Dude, the first time that I came here was for, like, in 2015 for Miatas at Laguna Seca.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to drive one of the V8 Roadster cars that had, like, an NC Miata motor in it. Never driven here before, but, like, I was like, oh, I've played it in Forza. Like, yeah. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, totally
wrong.
Like
yeah.
like almost four off in the corkscrew the first time over. Like it's completely yeah. different. And your reference points are like so much different when you're actually in a car versus driving yeah. a video game.
The thing that no in-car or video game will ever do justice is actually turn 9.
Yeah.
So after you go through the corkscrew, that's when it gets scary.
It feels super disorienting
yeah.
too. It really does.
Turn 9 is a downhill, off camber, sweeper. That just, if you're not settled before you turn in, just like back off the throttle and just kind of cruise it out.
So the first time I drove here, I started getting almost dizzy or like getting vertigo going through turn nine at speed. And I think it's because there's that cement wall out there that's kind of like a little more straight and you're coming down and you're kind of using that wall as like a reference point, even in like your peripheral. And it's kind of, it's straight, you know, there, it doesn't really change in elevation as much. And if you're using that, it kind of just, it throws you off a lot.
Yeah. You don't realize in any video game or anything.
It's actually pretty steep coming down through
you're
there.
You're still, like, the corkscrew is not the entire hill.
Yeah.
The corkscrew is just the top of the hill.
Yeah, I mean, the hill doesn't really end until the end of, like, track out for turn 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty serious. Yeah.
You're going downhill that whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous, man.
You know what's cool, though? Like, it's weird that you guys say that, and then I think about, like, how much power my car has, because when I was coming out of the corkscrew...
Always back to the power, man.
No, it's not back to the power, but it's just... I'm just talking about, like, how you guys approached this turn versus how I saw it today, because I had way less... I have way less power, which means I carry... I don't carry less speed, but I feel like I'm not traveling the same rate of speed.
Yeah, you have a little bit more time to process what's going on and where you're at. Yeah.
So that turn was like one of my favorite turns in the track today because I was figuring out how I could stay on the throttle into it and out of it.
Yeah.
Like, and then catching my speed down into 10, and then I only had to downshift into third into 10, and then I was full throttle all the way until 11. Yeah.
Now, did it get to the point where like you turn in for 9 and you're like, oh, I'm carrying too much speed, but I got to commit. And then you come through there and you're like, wait, I still have like 3 feet of track left.
Yeah. And I was
out
going
to the right side. Yeah. There's that.
Oh, I spun there too. I spun 4 times today. Oh, I did.
All right, man. I'm going to have to cut your wristband off.
It doesn't matter. I'm not going out
you're
tomorrow.
Done for the day.
But I stayed on track in that one, so it was all right. I didn't get black flags waved at me, so
it's okay. I may or may not have been off in turn 9 as well. If you turn in a little too early, because you get antsy there, you're going for it. It's just the track's wide there on track out, but it's not that wide.
I actually like the way the car feels all short shift into fourth. And then kind of turn in and get back on the throttle.
Yeah.
It feels like the car is way more planted that way.
Yeah.
When you try to hold it out through third, at least in my car, it's just, you're like, it doesn't feel right at all. Like, you're just, it's sketchy in my car, at least. I don't know. But if I short shift into fourth, get back into it, it feels much better. But yeah, like before, it's nothing does that corner justice. To me, that's actually the scariest part of the track.
Yeah. I mean, it's fast.
Yeah.
It really is. And you're going downhill, which makes it kind of unique at the track. There's really not that many corners that are downhill. Like, maybe turn 2 a little bit is downhill. But other than that, there's really not much else. Turn 10 is a little downhill, but nothing like turn 9.
No.
I mean, the corkscrew's obviously downhill, but that's already, you know, challenging as it is. But
yeah, I'm trying to think of what it would be like for people listening that know Southern California tracks. It's like... It's kind of like Riverside at Buttonwillow.
Yeah.
But downhill.
But downhill instead of kind of going uphill a little
bit. But downhill and maybe a little more off camber.
Yeah.
Chuck Wall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the bowl.
Yeah, Chuck Wall has got the bowl.
Yeah.
But longer, I think, than the bowl.
A lot longer. Like, yeah, the radius is a lot different,
too.
How do you guys feel about
turn 6? Turn 6 is great, man.
I like turn 6.
Yeah, and it's got that little, like, compression zone, like, right in the middle of it. And when you nail it, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah. So. Turn 6 is good until you get after it and realize you drive a front-wheel drive Honda, and then you need to power up the hill.
Going up the hill is embarrassing in a Honda. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was like, I think I can.
Wait, at least you're not in, like, a 1.6 Miata where you look down and you're, like, full throttle in fifth and the car's decelerating.
Oh, those are the only guys I was passing today up the hill was Miatas. Like, I'm like, I got this.
Yeah, what was embarrassing was there's a Pirelli World Challenge BMW here.
Yeah.
And...
Like one of the M235s?
Yeah. I think that's what
it is. One of the new ones.
And his closing speed on us was so insane. Like, I was like, I got the high beams today. Like, I saw him coming from a mile away.
I think that was Ari Bailu, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure
who was here. Yeah, he was here in one of those cars today.
But it was just funny because I'm like, man, is my car that slow compared to these guys? And I'm getting the high beams when he's like 100 yards behind me. But that's just how fast the closing speed was. So it's, in Jaren's defense, this is a track that horsepower definitely helps you.
Oh, yeah. Horsepower helps you at every track.
Yeah. But there's a lot of elevation that you don't see.
Yeah, you got to pull yourself up the hill.
Yeah. But
it's like getting on the freeway.
Then you can
forever.
Takumi it down the backside.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah.
Power doesn't matter on the backside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can just go backwards. It don't matter.
Yeah.
Well, for a little bit, you had a rear-wheel drive car.
Yeah.
How'd it feel?
Yeah.
I went in full fakie. I was committed.
It also works when your car breaks at the top of the hill, and then you can coast it all the way back back to the pit.
Yeah. Is that speaking from experience?
Yeah, yeah. That wouldn't happen a couple hours ago. But.
Oh, man. Wait, so the car like shut off on you while you were driving it? Because if it did, then it might not be the starter.
Which
oh,
session?
You had multiple issues today. Okay, never mind.
So, quick recap. First session, got a little smoky inside the car. My exhaust cam seal was like just worked its well. I say it worked its way out. I put it in wrong. So it dripped oil out all over the front of the block. That just started the day off wrong. Got that fixed. Car started to feel good. And then it was third session just before the sound booth. So
Turn five,
downshift, like going from fourth back to third into turn five. Car didn't go into third. I was able to get it back into fourth real quick, just stayed in fourth, tried to downshift to third again, same thing in six.
Shifter cables or something?
No, my pressure plate broke.
Oh, cool.
So
real cool.
Yeah. So that's what we were like, all right, well, then that's when Anthony and these guys just, they were like, go take care of this, go buy it, whatever. But going out before that session, we had to like pop start the car. Like it just... You click the key over and it just had nothing.
Huh. So it was already like showing signs.
Yeah. I feel like it's two different signs that just kind of appeared at the same time.
Hmm.
It's just, you know, once the car's running, it's fine. But yeah. So we did all that. But it was a long, crappy day.
And it's still not figured out just yet.
It's not figured out. But Jaren's going home tomorrow and he trailered his car. So I'm going to use it as a pick apart in the morning.
Awesome for me because this is the car I get to work in. So. Luckily, me and Jared live 10 minutes from each other, so he can pick me up.
Nice
to go to work. Or something
so
like that.
I figure I'll give it till like 11 o'clock. If I can't get it sorted,
get it done by then, you're just calling it quits.
By then, I'll call it quits.
Cause, okay.
I mean, I think everybody who does this has done it at some point, but it's so deflating to like. I mean, for us especially, like. We're both Southern California based, so to drive to Laguna Seca,
it's like
a 6-hour drive.
Yeah.
We're camping out, it's freezing cold, like you know, you're doing all this stuff, you're trying to like mentally prepare, you're trying to get as much, you know, parts and spares and everything you can to be ready for it.
Took 2 days off work.
Took some time off work. And then you get here and it's like, oh, just issue after issue after issue. And it deflates you so quick.
Yeah.
And you're just like, all right, well, I'm ready to go home. I'm over it. And then all these guys are just like, no, we're going to fix it. Like, let's go. Like, start,
I'm just part of the camaraderie.
Start like bringing their tools over to your car and like just going to town on it. And
I'm here to help where I can.
Yeah.
Hey, let me comment on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, Art?
What's happening?
Introduce yourself real quick.
My name's Art Artin. Used to have a shop. Not anymore, but I'm a fab guy.
Okay.
And I'm also a car guy, but I just don't race car anymore since it's just not in the cars.
Hey,
right
man,
now.
I don't. You mean not in the cars?
Not in the cars. The cars.
They're getting bad, right? Man. They're getting bad.
It's right there.
No, dude, I'm in the same boat.
No, like, but for
but
sure.
But I'm around it all the time still.
Yeah, no, but.
The social side is what does it for me.
Yeah. No, I had a shop called Nitrodyne, and that's how I met Will. And through Will, I met everybody else. And it's been real awesome and a real pleasure. And I come from a background of accidental drifting. I was always a road race guy, like, you know, back in 2007, I think it was. I was at the Super Street Time Attack.
Oh, cool.
And the HKS Evo was out there. And what was rad about that day is that I was still in high school. It was in senior year. And,
oh, nice.
And my entire auto shop class was going to watch the drag races at one of these NHRA events that was like hosted by the Army, like a recruiting tool. And I looked at my auto shop teacher. I was like,
"Was Jaren in your auto shop class?"
No, this is.
He was already there.
Yeah, right?
He was already there.
No, but this was yeah. I was told no, but straight up, I asked my auto shop teacher. I'm like, and he had an Evo, and I was like, "Dude, Super Street Time Tag." He's like, "All right, you got all your paperwork signed off, right?" He goes, "Yeah." He's like, "When you get there, you call me and you tell me what's going on." So anyways, but yeah, the community, going back to what we were talking about as far as the community, like even I saw it today, it was just, there's no better camaraderie than the guys around here. And like I said, you know, I'm not even racing, and, you know, Will will call me up and be like, "Dude, I'm going to a track." I'm like, "Dude, I'm there," you know, just to just to be around that and just to see that camaraderie and the teamwork that, you know, grows out of these events, you know. And just like Jared was saying, you know, there was a dude working on his car that he hadn't even met yet, and everybody's just willing to help because everybody just wants everybody to get to the track.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of that guy too, because even with Will, you know, there was one time we were in his garage and it was like, we gotta go, this isn't working, and we gotta get the car going, and Will's like, "Screw it, I'm not going." And I'm like, "Yes, you are. We're gonna get to the bottom of this. We're going." I think we got to the track, he got like one lap in, and he's like, "I'm still having the same issues. I'm sorry, bro, can't help you." it's pretty much, yeah, we tried everything we could at the house, it's in God's hands. But yeah, no, seriously though, like this community is absolutely awesome, and just to like be around it and to be able to help wherever you can. And it's funny too, like, because, you know, being close with Will and being friends with him, and, you know, and going to the track with these guys and not having a car and just like always jumping in and helping them buckle up and stuff, Will was gonna go out in his S2000 CR, which is pretty much bone stock, and I'm like, I went up to the car to like get it ready as I do with the CRX. I'm like, okay, I should move the harness, like set it up for him. Like, I get up to it and there's like nothing to do it, so I grab the torque wrench and I just start checking his lug nuts. But yeah, the community is great, and I love being around, and you know, someday I'll drive, but
yeah,
I've never owned a front wheel drive, and I don't know if I can. Yeah. But we might, maybe. Never
you get
know.
To help Will after he took out that rabbit.
No, yeah, right? Seriously.
That was you, the one between me, 5 and 6? Yeah. Man, I saw that when we went out to do a little sweep up after the last purple group. And there's like right under the Mazda bridge, there's a freaking rabbit that somebody ran over. And I guess apparently
me.
It was you.
Yeah, I pointed a Porsche by going uphill, and I was committed to the inside, and he was on the outside. I saw the rabbit jump on the wall, and I was like, "Homie, stay there. Don't go." And then it ran
don't
out.
Jump, don't
and
do it.
And it stopped, and I was
don't
like, "Dude,
do it."
I did everything I could, man. And I just, I heard him bounce off the axle, and went, and I got meatballed, and I pulled in. I was like, "Oh, probably for sound or whatever."
This should be the sub name of this episode, is like Suicide by CR or something.
Dude, then the guy's like, "Your exhaust is hanging off." I'm like, "Well, there's no way the exhaust is hanging off."
He's was like, there a rabbit like hanging from your exhaust?
No, it knocked my
the
brake
hanger?
Ducting.
Oh, really?
And it was dragging my brake ducting, and it's got guts all over it. So I'm like, "Yeah,
gross, perfect. Dude."
Yeah.
Ah, man. So
that happens a lot here. That's another part.
Yeah, there's a lot of like small little rodents
stuff
around.
Stuff that does not happen in Southern California.
Yeah.
You get like there's a part of the hill like that's a parking lot for big races here. That has thousands of squirrels running around it.
I think I saw some of it when I was driving back here.
Yeah. Yeah. Between like campsite and the track.
Yeah.
On your left side, there's a big hill headed up.
Yeah. Like outside of like 3 or something.
Yeah. And it's just like amazing how many squirrels are everywhere. So, I mean, I've only got a couple days on track here, and I've seen multiple squirrels or rabbits on track.
Man,
and it's
blasted.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I guess there's a lot of carnage, man. I wonder what track staff does with them. Like, do they, like, have, like, a little graveyard for them? What do they do?
They become one with the track.
Yeah. That's Laguna Seca roadkill. Yeah.
I don't know if they last long, though. There was, like, a vulture or, like, a huge bird.
Really?
Picking.
Oh, that was a turkey vulture.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's some big birds that will come and do some cleanup.
They like
the
they
crew.
Hear they hear cars running on the track and they're like, "Ha, eating time."
Yeah,
it's like their dinner bell.
Yeah, it's their call.
Man, Yeah, it's crazy the weather here, though, to be honest. You know, I'd been here a couple times, and, like, I remember it being foggy in the mornings, but I didn't realize, like we were talking about earlier, that it rolls back in at night. And it's, like, it's a wet fog, too.
Yeah, I can literally see the fog blowing behind you guys right now on the lantern.
It was beautiful before the sun went down.
It's still cold, too. It's, like, freezing. Yeah. I don't know.
It's so foggy, you could see your shadow.
Yeah. I mean, we are kind of on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
It's not really a mountain, I guess, but
it's the Bay Area.
We'll call it a mountain.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's a California mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's
like a hill.
So. Man. Well, good deal, guys. I know it's getting a little bit late, but really appreciate you guys coming on.
You're cutting us off because it was about to get weird in the podcast.
No, dude, no. I'm just like looking at the clock. I'm like, man, I got to be up at like 6:30.
It's 11:30.
Yeah, I got to be up at 6:30 to break down camp and, you know, and go help run registration. So, but really appreciate it, you guys. Where can people find out more about HFF Challenge if they want to know more?
They can check out hffchallenge.com.
Okay.
All one word. We don't update it as often as it needs to, but it does have all the current registration, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. Like you kind of, like you have to have. Yeah, Instagram is HFF_challenge.
Okay. Did somebody have regular HFF challenge already? Someone steal it?
You know what? Somebody, I don't know who, at Speed Ventures started HFF challenge like years ago.
Yeah.
And then none of us could ever find the password or username or anything. So
really?
Don't know who started it, but we know like that it exists.
Well, at least not like someone hasn't like stolen it.
Yo, if you're listening, come forward, please.
Yeah, no, I think it did exist. So, and there was one that was like HFF/S2K challenge. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we just started fresh with it. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that and the website, you can download the point scale and how you kind of class your car and everything like that. So, yeah, those are probably the two best ways for sure.
Cool. Well, we appreciate it, guys. Will, Art, Jared, Jaren, thanks so much for your guys' time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys, I guess, at Button Willow at the end of July.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hottest time of year.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be miserable.
Yo, wait. Before we go, shout out to all my sponsors for the 2017 season. I'm not lying.
I like to thank God.
All of you. No, I have a list. Really, it's going to go quick. Sparco, Coil Radiators, Brian Crower, BC Cams.
Swiss Springs.
Wait.
Just kidding.
No, you take
just
that.
Kidding.
No. Yeah, you can't say that. IBOC, that's like first and foremost because like they helped me out a lot with doing this. And they gave me time off. Shout out Jared. He's my manager. So he let me come to this race and, you know, do this.
You should have called in sick to him.
Yeah, right? Called in sick and then, like, I'm his neighbor across from the campground.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, it's like a big thing for me is, like, company help. And not just the companies that hook me up or help me out. A big thing for me is, like, companies that give back to the community. There's a lot of guys that want to race, but they can't afford it. So we need to get companies that can either get some better priced, like, quality product, or we need to get, like, companies that are able to give back more to the people who are supporting them and using their product. Because these guys are out here, like, they're spending their hard-earned money trying to go racing. And that's all we want to see. Like, you guys sell these race products, but these guys want to go racing, but they can't do it because of the budgets, you know? These track days are expensive. This is way different than drag racing. So it's like, get out there, support. Like, if you got a company and you can help out, like, not just HFF, but any kind of racing, like, that's, you know, like, if you were doing something automotive, support your local track events or whatever you can do. Or, you know, like, sponsor Speed Ventures or sponsor HFF to get these guys to the track. You know, we can make these events big, but we need the sponsorship and people out there. So that's my closing statement.
All right.
So I went on a tangent, but
yeah,
that's something that I feel in motorsports, it's like there's not enough people that they want to see people buying your parts and going fast, but you don't want to help those people out.
And there's tons of people in the Honda community and like high places in the Honda community that listen to the show too. So
yeah, I hope it
that
works.
That wasn't a plea for help, but
no, I'm just telling you.
Are you in sales at IBOC?
I am in sales.
Yeah.
But that's my job. Like, I'm not trying to sell you. I'm just telling you, like.
No, when you're like, hold up. Right? I got something to say.
Nah, I'm just saying, like, these are the people. Like, I love doing this, but I do it on, like, a very small budget. But if I could do it on a larger budget, I'd be faster. I'd be doing more events. I'd be doing more stuff. And it's like.
You'd have a Turbo B series.
I would. And I rep my sponsors, like, hard. Like, people that help me out, if you help me out in any kind of way, I try to rep you hard. So it's like, that's like, just give back to the community. That's all I want to see, because you could grow it that way.
Well, that's what we do the show for too, man.
I mean, that's rad.
We don't really get paid for the show, but we just love doing it because it helps build the community.
Wait, I was told I was getting paid.
Is this paid time?
I got cookies for you.
Wait, I'm about to do it.
We have a whole tray of cookies for
you. You can't pay me in cookies. All right, I'll take it.
So, well, cool, guys. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks. Bye.
All right.